Cloudy skies, some light fog, and 67 degrees in Atlantic at 7:07. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Dan's Welding in Cumberland, solving Southwest Iowa's welding problems for 27 years. Forecast is calling for scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly through about midday and a high around 74. We picked up 33 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall here in Atlantic over the past 24 hours. In the news, a district court judge has approved a motion to suppress evidence filed by the defense attorney in the case of an Oakland man charged with first-degree murder in the shooting of a Cass County woman. Eric Nelson, attorney for 63-year-old Robert Reynolds, had claimed in his motion that an interview with Reynolds by the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office should be thrown out as evidence. The Daily Don Perel says 4th District Court Judge Greg Stensland agreed. Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur said that during the interview, Reynolds asked to speak with an attorney, but eventually waived his Miranda rights. Stensland ruled that authorities shouldn't have pushed Reynolds for the waiver after the suspect asked for an attorney, saying a recording of the interview cannot be used at Reynolds' first-degree murder trial, which is scheduled for September 30th. Reynolds is charged with first-degree murder in connection with the shooting death of 64-year-old Patricia Kincaid Dorsey of rural Cass County. He allegedly shot the woman on April the 8th, and during an interview with law enforcement, reportedly admitted that he and Kincaid Dorsey had a verbal dispute inside his residence, and that he then left the area to locate a firearm, which he allegedly used to fatally shoot Kincaid Dorsey. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker said he wasn't fully aware of all the particulars in Stensland's decision and therefore declined to comment. Matt Wilbur said he still feels confident about the state's case against Reynolds moving forward. Officials with SURWA, the Southern Iowa Rural Water Association, yesterday expanded the boil water advisory that had been issued Monday for southeastern Cass County. The advisory now includes customers in the northwestern Adams, Montgomery, and southeastern Cass counties, including the cities of Grant, Carbon, Brooks, Bridgewater, and Lyman. And it affects customers with account numbers that begin with 047, 048, 081, 082, 084, and 005. SURWA said they're not getting the proper chlorine residual from their water supplier, and due to the potential for bacterial contamination, it was being recommended the water be boiled before using for drinking or cooking, or that an alternative source such as bottled water be used. The chlorine residual has been below acceptable tolerances in Bridgewater and the Lyman areas since Saturday night. Again, authorities recommend persons in those areas not to drink the water without boiling it first. You should bring the water to a boil, let it boil for 1 minute, and then let it cool before using or use bottled water. The water as it is may be used for bathing and other similar purposes. We should know later today the results of tests taken earlier this week on that water to make sure it's safe for drinking. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening authorized Mayor Dave Jones to sign a letter of support for a local trail group's grant application. Dave Chase with Initiative Alley Trails Incorporated approached the council during their regular meeting, saying the letter would help in the processing of a REAP, or Resources Enhancement and Protection Grant, from the state of Iowa for the completion of a section of the T-Bone Trail into Atlantic. Chase said the Iowa legislature set aside $16 million for REAP-type projects. Applications for a share of that money are due by the middle of this month.
This project is going to cost about $550,000, and half of that is a 162-foot pedestrian bridge that will go across Troublesome Creek.
Unlike previous enhancement grants, which required a 20% local match and has since been paid back, Chase said the REAP does not require any additional funds.
So the city would not be on that line, or Nishna Valley Trails would not be on the line for any funds. This is an application that would go in, and for communities this size, about $780,000 has been set aside for communities of this size as part of that $16 million. REAP funds a lot of other different projects. This is going to enhance, we believe, the Vision Iowa grant that Park and Rec Department is going to go for next year, because this will link two existing trail systems.
That means it would be beneficial enhancement to the Schulberg Quarry Recreation Area and Trail. Only 3 miles of the 20-mile T-Bone Trail remains to be completed before it's connected to Atlantic.
And if we can develop this linkage, that's going to enhance our abilities to get funds to develop that route for the T-Bone Trail in here, and there's a couple alternative routes. As I said, it doesn't require any commitment by the city other than to say we have been presented the plan, which I started with you back in 2010, and now has come to fruition to the point that we have all of the engineering, all the information, all the projected costs ready to go, and we just need the council of the city to sign off on that.
In addition to asking for the city's support, Chase said the Cass County Resource Enhancement Committee has also agreed to sign off on the application. And he said Nishna Valley Trails has $124,000 in a bank, but will continue to seek sources of revenue to get the project completed. When completed, the T-Bone Trail will extend to the Atlantic Municipal Utilities' Wellhead Trail site as well. In the funeral announcements, Jackson Pilgrim, age 2 of Greenfield, the son of Jonathan and Cassandra Pilgrim, died Sunday in Omaha. Funeral services for Jackson Pilgrim will be today at 10 o'clock at the Griswold Community Building. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. William M. Nichols, age 27, who's formerly of Lewis, passed away in a car crash last Saturday. Celebration of life services for William Nichols will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Atlantic Evangelical Free Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Ernest Ernie Schnack, Jr., age 87, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Murtu Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Ernie Schnack, Jr. will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Edwin Michaels, age 87, of Erling, died Monday. Massive Christian burial service for Edwin Michaels will be Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Randall Lamb, age 59, who's formerly of Redfield, died last Friday in Des Moines. A memorial service for Randall Lamb will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Nancy Balch, age 63, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Nancy Balch will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Norma Cousins, age 87, of Griswold, died Monday at CCMH. Funeral services for Norma Cousins will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. John H. Gomez, age 94, of Stewart, died Tuesday. Services for John Gomez will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the historic All Saints Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Leonard Penny Toole, age 95, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of life services for Leonard Toole will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic. Matthew A. Erickson, age 29, of Carroll and formerly of Elkhorn, died Tuesday at St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Matthew Erickson will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Trinidad Osbar, age 92, of Avoca, died Monday. A massive Christian burial service for Trinidad Osbar will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Sherry Sue Winther Denny, age 55, of Anita, died July 31st. Memorial services for Sherry Denny will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. And Wayne Colvin, age 79, of Oakland, died Tuesday in Council Bluffs. Services for Wayne Colvin are pending at the Regan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Our news was brought to you this hour by Dan's Welding in Cumberland. Call Dan Anstey today for all of your welding and fabrication needs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.